Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, good morning, Caregiver Nation, and to all my friends with diagnosis. So glad to have you listening today. Hey, also, I wanted to have a shout out to a listener, Alice. Love that you listen every week and call me with your feedback. You are so sweet and hope you're doing well today. I have my friend Shannon Gimble, who is the Ombudsman's Program Manager extraordinaire.
She did it.
I did it. She did. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. We've worked together on many occasions with the Alzheimer's Association on the committee when we put together the education symposium each year. But it's the first time I've had you on the show. So glad to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Will you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, about myself. Gosh, I am a Colorado native.
Nice.
And grew up down in Larkspur. I have soon to be 11-year-old identical twin girls, and I've been a social worker for more years than I'd probably care to admit on the air, but I have been with the Dr. Cog's Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program for 16 years now, and so it's work I'm very familiar with, work I love doing, and get to be really creative every day and trying to help do what it is we do for folks.
I love that. And by the way, I want to give a little plug to Colorado No Copay. Is that the exact title of it? Right?
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
My friend Murph Houston is the host of that show, and your office sponsors that show.
We do. Dr. Cog's Area Agency on Aging is the sponsor for No Copay Radio. Jayla Sanchez Warren, who's the Area Agency on Aging director at Dr. Cog, is usually the one doing the show. However, sometimes she has people filling in.
And you would be one of those people.
Sometimes, yeah.
Nice. Well, the reason I asked you to come on today is there's a lot of confusion about who to call for families when they have a loved one living in a community, a care community, facility, whatever people want to call them, nursing homes, and there's an issue. Okay? So on this half hour today, I'd like to talk about when they should call, and what does your office do? Let's start with that. What does your office actually do for the communities themselves and for people who have loved ones there?
The Area Agency on Aging has a bunch of different programs. We've actually been growing by leaps and bounds. That's why our office is having to move, because we have too many people now. No such thing. But my program in particular is the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program.
Okay.
And that is a federally mandated program under the Older Americans Act. And we are, in essence, advocates for folks who reside in long-term care communities, so assisted living facilities, as well as nursing homes. And we're also complaint investigators. So we work specifically for the residents and their families and or decision makers, depending on what the case may be. And we go in on a regular basis to check on folks, make sure they're getting what they need, that they're being taken care of. And if there's no complaint too small, no complaint too large, people can call us. We will never take action without permission from the resident or decision maker.
Okay.
We cannot, under our mandate, take any action without permission. So we work for the people.
Okay. I love that. I used the Ombudsman's Office in Illinois under the Area Office of the... I never say that right. Area Aging.
Area Agency on Aging.
Thank
yes.
you. That is a tongue twister. And a lovely woman named Judith Williams helped my family when my mom had an issue at a community she was at, and it was a case of over-medication and and just not really good care. And I really appreciated that. So how do you play mediator? What would be an ideal situation for you if a family calls and say, you know, they have somebody that maybe has been sitting in their own feces for days and days and days, and they are not getting cleaned and they're not being toileted or what have you, and they call the Ombudsman's Office. Walk me through what that might look like.
It's typically a conversation. A lot of questions that we're going to ask about what have you tried? Have you spoken with people there at the care community? Have you talked to them about your concerns? If not, we maybe make recommendations of who to reach out to, who to speak with, because a lot of times we want to empower families and our residents to be able to address concerns on their own behalf. And so we always advocate for them to let the care community know that there's a concern. But oftentimes they have done that and or they don't feel comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. And so we will certainly get all the information. The example you gave would the recommendation would likely be for, depending on what the family and or loved one or resident wanted to do, it might just be a phone call. But we easily could call a care conference and sit down and really go through the care plan and see what can be done to address that. We're not regulatory. We're not going to cite the facility. We're a lower level. So care communities oftentimes would prefer us to come in versus the regulators to come in and maybe cite them for inadequate care.
Okay. So you'll do that. They could actually ask you to come in and sit down and help them express their concerns to the community and also help mediate for the community side to help the family understand maybe what has happened or why the care went the way it did, help with a continuing care plan?
Right. Mediation can be kind of tricky in the work we do because really technically we're the advocate for the resident and the family. But we do mediation. Oftentimes there's a lot of family dynamics that come into play, especially when somebody's, starting to work with the diagnosis of dementia and or Alzheimer's. Sometimes it's us mediating between family members and the care community, trying to come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. A daughter wants one thing for mom, a son wants something else for mom, and the care community is sort of stuck in the middle. Right. So in those situations, we really try to resolve and get to a situation that's going to be beneficial for the resident, for the person who actually needs the care, because emotions can run high. Right. And oftentimes people lose sight of what's really important, which is the care. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes the communities can use us as well, the care communities, and call us to troubleshoot. They've got a difficult situation. They've got some family dynamics that are really interfering maybe with the care that's needing to be provided for these individuals. Right. They can call upon us and ask us to help intervene because ultimately we're then still advocating on behalf of that resident to get the care that they need.
Do you think people are ever afraid to call?
Oh, I think oftentimes people are afraid to call. I think, there's a real fear of retribution. You know, when you live somewhere and you depend on those people to take care of you and simple things, just to get you a glass of water, to get you your medication, or to, even put your socks on, and then you're going to complain about them. Mm-hmm. That's a real fear. And as much as I can try to ease those fears, I leave at the end of the day. I don't stay there. And so that's why confidentiality is such a big piece of our program, and that's why we will never take action without permission, because that fear is very real.
Is it hard to get people from the emotional state to giving permission? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We have a lot of people that want to just tell you what's wrong, or they want to complain, they want to put blame somewhere, but then you're trying to move them off of, well, would you be willing to to have us contact them? Oh no.
Right. And so we have to have very difficult conversations sometimes with individuals and explain, here's what the solutions are. Now, if you don't want us to take action and there to be a solution, that's certainly your choice, but we're also not there just to be a sounding board either. You know, if you're going to call us, our resources are very limited. We cover almost 500 facilities in our region. So if you're going to utilize our time, we will consult and we will give you tools. We will tell you how you can have those communications with any individual involved in the care. But ultimately, if they don't want any action taken, there's a reality then that the situation isn't going to necessarily change.
Right.
There are times where a family might be complaining about something. The resident still has some capacity. I can go out and meet with the resident, and the resident wants to be able to give me direction. I can take direction from them. I don't have to take it from a family member. And in essence, I work for the resident. So even with a decision maker, if mom, dad are still able to express what their needs and wants are, then we take direction from that person, irrespective of diagnosis.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back and continue this conversation. Hey, friends. I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned, and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services.
Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. Check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back. I have Shannon Gimbel here, and you are the Ombudsman Program Manager here in the state of Colorado, Denver.
Denver Regional Council of Denver. Governments.
Okay. Well, great. Shannon, we're talking today about the Ombudsman's Office, your role, how it translates to families and communities getting along. And so I'm going to put something to you. We're just having a conversation here. I want to put something to you. There's a disconnect between what families expect and what communities can provide. So let's be real honest here. Let's really talk this out. I know families out there in Caregiver Nation don't want to hear this, but the truth of the matter is these communities, and there are 700 of them in the Denver metropolitan area, and they hire people basically off the streets. And even if somebody has a CNA license, chances of them having any neurological training at all probably doesn't exist. I don't know how many times I've met, like I told you earlier, LPNs, RNs, especially CNAs, who've never had an ALSA training. There are general physicians who have never had any brain training in their career. So we're bringing people in and we're paying them, I'm going to say, somewhere between $12 and $15 an hour, and that would be on the high end. Seriously, the high end. And they don't have much training in that area. Well, families don't know that. Okay, so they come into a community to have their loved one live there. They've already been hit with the sticker shock of the deposit they have to put down the first month, which could be $5,000 or more dollars. And in a lot of cases, these communities cost anywhere from $5,000 to maybe $8,000 or more per month for these families. So their expectation is very high that the people working there absolutely understand how to work with different dementias, especially Alzheimer's, particularly Lewy body, frontal temporal, where someone is going to have some behaviors, right?
Correct.
And there's a serious disconnect there from the word go. Would you agree that that's a fair statement?
I agree, yes.
Yeah. And so where we get into the problem is, again, families may not want to hear this, but I'm going to call it like I see it. I think that oftentimes families not meaning to created the task-centered programs we have in our communities out there because they came in wanting their husband, their wife, their grandmother, their mom, their dad, whoever it is, looking perfect at 10 a.m., not being in their pajamas down at the breakfast area and so on and so forth. And they unwittingly created this task-centered focus that most of the communities out there have. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You know, and you're right. The in the Denver metro area, the market is saturated, especially now with memory care sort of being the big marketing tool. And so just because a community slaps on a memory care sticker on their signage doesn't mean that they actually know what that care entails.
Right.
And so, and you're correct. Oftentimes families have an expectation that the care is going to be like what they were providing for that individual at home. And so there's some expectations that we are just going to have to let go of. You know, when it comes down to it, let's look at the clinical care. Are they getting good care? Not necessarily, you know, are their fingernails trimmed all the time? Those sorts of things, we have to really help families understand that it's not necessarily the resident who's going to probably have an issue with it. It's them.
Right.
Because they remember what mom was like, and they remember what dad was like, and they remember that they would never be okay not shaving for a day.
Right.
Well, dad's somebody different right now. And if we're gonna have to pick and choose, I would choose the care over maybe necessarily the shaving. Not that hygiene's not important, but it is a very task oriented position with very difficult training requirements that are really lacking in these care communities. They're not getting the training. They're not getting the support. You have a lot of caregivers who want to do the right thing, but they don't have the training and the support to do that.
Well, that's exactly right. And the support coming from their executive director, and even further with their ownership. I think the disconnect starts with, And I see this especially in home care. Families can, and you kind of hit on it, families can only see what the person has lost. Mm-hmm. Where the communities or doctors or any of us only see what, you know, that are trained in this field, we only see what that person can still do. Right. And we appreciate them for that.
Right.
When a person gets into a community, oftentimes they will let their guard down. They no longer have to be perfect. They don't have to try so hard to say the right thing. They're around other people that are dealing with the same issues that they are, so they feel a little bit more comfortable on just being themselves. Well, there's a perception there that that person has gotten worse, mm-hmm. or their dementia has progressed, which may not necessarily be true. Maybe we've just pulled the cover off of it. Now you can see it for what it really is. But when families do see an issue, how do they report that concern to you and you guide them to that strange dichotomy we have? Mm-hmm. You've got to guide them through all those things I just said to you, that misconception or the disconnect in what they're seeing.
A lot of it's
that's a little deeper than what I asked you earlier. Right. You know what I mean? I'm drilling down on
that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of it's education, and a lot of it's just explaining the reality of the landscape in long-term care and what they can and cannot provide. And there's some communities that are better equipped to do it than others. And maybe it's not necessarily the community that mom's in or dad's in, but maybe we can help get them to a community that's a little closer to that. But I have to help them understand that they have to let go of the perfect.
Yeah.
Because there is no perfect. It's a messy diagnosis. It's a messy disease. The aging process can be very messy, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's letting go of like you said, it's a lot of loss, but there's also still a lot of gains to be had. And so sometimes it's, and you know, and I found sometimes families just want to be heard. It's not necessarily even that they want to fix it. They just want somebody to hear what they're saying, to say, I know this is difficult. And it helped them adjust to the process. Because oftentimes it's when they're sort of in the newness of a long-term care community. Mm-hmm. That's where I think at first that shock is so great. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they get to a sort of a middle ground. And the communities, the people who provide the care also need to understand that this is not just a patient. This is somebody's loved one. This is somebody's mother. This is somebody's father. And so somewhere in the middle is where it lies often. And so as ombudsman, we try to get to as close to good as we can. So everybody's feeling like they have been heard, and that there's some action being taken.
I think you're right. I think there's a huge contingency out there that just wants to understand. There's a lot of lack of knowledge on the side of the families. Mm-hmm. You know, just a short example of that is how our Lewy body friends weren't diagnosed as Lewy body, and they all got kind of lumped into the Alzheimer's piece. Mm-hmm. And so when you have some serious behaviors that aren't triggered and so on and so forth, and some of the demons that our people with Lewy body live with, and they're in those communities, there's a misconception that everybody with Alzheimer's gets mean at some point and things like that. And so when you look at even a small example like that, and we're talking about the disconnect between what families expect and so forth, it's easy to see how there can be some really hard hills for them to get over in, and this whole arena of understanding that they're going to have to come to.
Right.
And not everybody's ready to do that. Not everybody wants to do that.
Right.
They just want that perfection. Mm-hmm. And lucky you get caught in the middle, right? Well, we're going to come back after a second here and talk a little bit more. But you and I both were speakers at the April 18th Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment board talking about needing new regulations.
Yep.
And when we come back from our break, I want to talk about is that going to make a difference for your department? Is that going to help your department at all in people having better processes that they're following? We'll talk about that when we come right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff.
Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, well, Shannon Gimble is with me, and Shannon, in your ombudsman's office, you're the manager of the programs there here in Denver. What's a typical day in your office?
A typical day is there is no typical day. That's about as typical as it gets. You know, whatever you think you had planned and whatever you think you might be doing can quickly be changed depending on the kind of calls that come in, or events that take place. So they're out, the ombudsmen are out in the field almost nonstop. We have to be in assisted livings at least quarterly, nursing homes at least monthly. If we were out yesterday to do our monthly visit and I get a call tomorrow, I'm going to be going back out to the nursing home. And so their job is to be out in the field and talking with the folks and, meeting with families and meeting with residents, trying to do some work with some of the care communities, depending on what it is, a lot of education. And so it is... Name it. We get the call. I'd like to say it's cold coffee, but cold coffee days are long gone. Yes, we still get those calls, but we don't prioritize those the way that we used to because we have so many large issues now with acuity, the acuity of care that's needed, and abuse and neglect, and there is no typical day.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Well, I want to tell you a success story with my family. When I called the area agency,
Area Agency on Aging.
There you go. Jiminy Christmas. I reached a lovely woman named Judith. And what she did for me was she went in and checked on the situation with my mom. Then she let me know that I was able to access the medical account record, which I did not know that. Mm-hmm. So I could actually look at the interactions with the staff and the medication that they were giving my mom on a daily basis. And then she gave me a guide so I could read it because I didn't know how to read it at that point in time.
Sure.
This was several years ago. Mm-hmm. And then she also said, it might not be a bad idea to contact an attorney. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, we did. And I hate that we had to do that, but something that good that came out of it was we changed two state regulations in the state of Illinois mm-hmm. based on my mom's case, mm-hmm. which was the first case in the entire country where we could prove that they damaged a person with a neurological mm-hmm. degenerative disease. And so now people with a record of any type, a criminal record of any type mm-hmm. cannot work in nursing homes in Illinois. And they have to have a gradual dose reduction for whatever that's worth, right? Mm-hmm. But I like that because they can't just throw medication at somebody without targeting a symptom.
Correct.
Or making sure that they're having some efficacy with the drug that they're trying to use for a specific mm-hmm. reason. Mm-hmm. So tell me something that maybe has happened in your office that you want to brag on your staff about. An example that you guys have,
I think some of our biggest accomplishments is when we hear back from the residents, that whatever we were involved in, because name it, it could be that they don't have a choice as to when they are able to take a shower. It could be that they're not getting their medications on time. It could be that a caregiver is being verbally abusive with them. When we're actually able to get involved and there's some outcome, because there's a lot of times that we're not successful, not because we can't be, just because things have gotten so bad so quickly and we were called in too late mm-hmm. to fix it. But I think the biggest success stories really are when we hear back from the residents and or a family member that it was our intervention, that it was our ability to get involved that made the difference for that individual. And I would love to point out one story, but we would be here all day.
Right. Yeah. Well, I do think that the new regulations that are coming in after 34 years that we both spoke on mm-hmm. in front of the board and begged them to implement yeah. will make a difference. They also will cause some problems for your office just because dealing within regulations especially when they're being rolled out over a year and a half period of time, isn't going to be easy for anybody.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of education. It's going to be a lot of assisted living regulations are the ones that were just changed. Nursing right. regulations did not. But it's just going to be getting the care communities up to speed on what the expectations are now. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking earlier, I don't think regulations are always synonymous with good. But there has to be some sort of protection, and there has to be some way of holding care communities accountable for providing quality care. And sometimes the only way you can do it is with a rule. Unfortunately, that's just the way it works. Obviously, there's some communities who are doing a lovely job, don't need a rule in place, but there are many who are not and need the rules in order to keep right. them accountable.
My challenge, and I also want to thank the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, Dee Rita and her team put me and Greg Slosser put me on a list where I can provide some of that training and education that you're speaking about. And I appreciate that. My challenge is similar to yours. If I have an executive director or a parent company ownership who will not implement the person-centered care approach,
yep.
it doesn't make much sense. So I kind of struggle with that. And over the last 3 years, that's been my biggest challenge is I can go in and teach this, and I will tell them I'm going to use person-centered care approaches, not necessarily the task-centered where you just have a list of people who have to get a shower between right. 5:15 right. and 7:15 and yep. do or die, they're getting in that shower.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way I think. That's not the way I work. And so I'm more in line with the Tipa Snow theories of how to use, you know, person-centered approaches. And I love that, but it's difficult. So I'm hoping that those regulations help me
yes.
to help ownerships to embrace the person-centered care approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
That's right? the idea, right? I mean, and that's what we all want, right? We just want to be seen as a person and be treated yeah. as a person and not as a task.
Well, you all have a difficult job. How many people are in your department?
There are 14 of us.
Wow.
Yeah, for almost 500 facilities. And really, I take a couple of us out of it because we're busy doing the operations side.
Right.
So very few, but, you know, we make it work. So if people reach out to us and try to get a hold of us, you know, sometimes it's going to take a little bit because if somebody leaves, as they do, then we're really underwater. But,
right.
but it's a
right.
good team. It's a good team.
If it's something that you can easily fix, that's one thing. If it's not something, if it's an abuse situation or mm-hmm. something like that, do you recommend that with the mandatory reporting, people call the local police and then the Adult Protective Services?
We always try to get, especially if there's a real crucial need for it to be addressed sooner than later. You know, we will go out of our way to say we may not be your best avenue. And the health department may not be the best avenue either because right. it's not a quick process. And so, right. I mean, I just had a call the other day about a man who's got gangrene. Because he's got such severe skin breakdown and he's still living at the care community. And I thought, you know what, I got to put you in touch with the person at the top over these care communities because mm-hmm. I can't fix it. I can't fix it as quickly as it needs to be fixed. So we try to remedy it the best way we can. And sometimes that's going directly to the top with the organization itself. And it will be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you experience, sometimes we'll recommend at this point, legal might be your only step, unfortunately. We try to stay away from it, but
yeah,
sometimes
we hate to go that direction, mm-hmm. but sometimes it happens. Shannon, thank you for being on today. This is important. I, with my show, I'm just trying to educate families mm-hmm. and caregivers and people with diagnosis that there are some avenues. I always think if we can talk it through and communicate, that's the best way to do it. I wish they would call you when something is going wrong, when it's going wrong,
right.
not afterwards. But thank you for all you do and your staff, and you give them all a big way to go for me, would you?
Thank you. And if anybody needs to get a hold of one of
Please
us in the Denver metro
your,
area, yeah. we can be reached at 303-480-6734, and that's the designated ombudsman line.
Say that one more time.
303-480-6734.
Excellent. Well, until next time, and have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.